Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is your guy Larry, and you just tuned into another episode of Larry's Biblecast. How you guys doing today? I hope that you are having not only a wonderful day, but I hope you had a wonderful week. Hope that your week has been going by very productive, or whatever you had to do this week. I hope that, you know, things have been going smooth for you. And I just want to thank you, first of all, for tuning in. Thank you for coming by and stopping by and just taking this time to listen to some encouragement, maybe some strengthening, something to kind of give you some thought for the day or a thought for the week or what have you. And so I just want to thank you, and I'm humbled by your participation and just coming by and just checking me out. There's so many podcasts out there that I listen to podcasts myself, and I enjoy podcasts too. And so I'm just happy that you stop by and you check, you're listening to me as well. And so, you know, we're a community. You know, everybody has something to say, of course, and there's something that everybody can contribute to the society that we live in. There's also, you know, depending on what you listen to too, you know, sometimes not everything is good to listen to as well. So, you know, we want to be careful, we want to be mindful, we want to be discerning as to what we are engaging ourselves in. Amen. So I'm just so glad again that you came by and you're checking me out right now. And so, listen, we're going to get right into the not the verse of the day, but the devotional that I've been getting into. It's a 7-day devotional on the YouVersion Bible app called Good News for All People by a gentleman named John M. Perkins. He is a African-American gentleman. He's an older gentleman now, and he is a civil leader in civil rights, has led the fight in civil rights back in the 70s or the 60s, I believe it was. And also, he is an author, he is a teacher, and all-around believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, so far in day one, if you haven't checked that out, check out the previous episode about, and we read in day one about reconciliation and how the church can actually really play a phenomenal role, a good role in reconciliation. Do you know that we have all different ethnicities, all different backgrounds and cultures in our world today, that, you know, we can't just separate ourselves from someone else, right? We need to start to show not just how we can get along and coexist with one another, but better than that, as the church, as the believers, we need to be able to show the love of God through the love of Jesus Christ, and how if God can reconcile us to himself, how much more should we reconcile each other to each other? We need to understand one another. We need to reach out, and we need to be proactive when it comes to kind of reaching out toward one another. Amen. So listen, let's get right into this. This is day two that you're listening to Good News for All People. Again, it's a 7-day devotional, and we're going to get to the verse of it, which is found in Revelations chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. That's Revelations, the last book of the Bible, chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. And let's kind of check this out and see what it says first. Okay, in verse 9, it says, After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar. They were saying, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Verse 11 says, "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beasts. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God." Verse 12 says, "They sang, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Then in verse 13, it says, "Then one of the 24 elders asked me, Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night and in his temple. And he sits on the throne, and he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. That was read to you from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. Just an awesome passage. This was John, who had the vision, and it was like a vision. Some may describe it as a dream or prophetic dream, but this was a phenomenal vision that we read here. And what I want to take apart in this is that how he saw there was a vast crowd, too great to count. That was multitude, right? And this is the key words of every nation and tribe and people and language. And they were what? Standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. The Lamb meaning Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen. These people had one thing in common. They were all standing in front of Jesus Christ. And we know that whoever stands in front of Jesus Christ are the believers. They are me, and they might be you, and they might be the person that you go to church with, or they might be the person, your neighbor, that's a Christian or a believer. But we all have one thing in common. That means we're all from every nation and from every tribe and from every language. There is what you call diversity in this crowd. And though there is diversity and they're all different ethnicities and all different cultures and backgrounds and languages, we all spoke one language in this vision. And we all stood in front of one person, and that was Jesus Christ. And this is a clear picture of how we're going to see the end times when Jesus Christ does come back after the great tribulation. When everything is said and done and everything is now over with, and all the chapters of your life and my life and the world to come, the life is already done. When it's already at the end of things, we will all stand in front of who? Jesus Christ. God himself. Amen. That's the one thing that we will all have in common. And they shouted with a great roar. In verse 10, it says, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. So we want to really grasp this right here. Before we really get into what the devotion says today by John M. Perkins, this verse is showing not only are we a multitude of people, but we are of different backgrounds and cultures, but God sees us as all his children. Whether you are Asian, whether you are Hispanic, whether you are Black, whether you are white, whether you are of Indian descent, Native American, from whatever country, from London, from Africa, from Russia, from China, from America, from North America, from Latin America, from any place on the face of the world, you are my brother or my sister, if you are one, if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God sees us as one, sees us as one family, sees us as one nation under him. So you're never alone, never alone. So I thought that was a very powerful vision, and this is a powerful verse to get right into this devotion about. And they also had another thing as we read further down in this verse, in verse 14, when John asked them, or the one of the 24 elders asked John, "Sir, you know who they are," or I'm sorry, verse 13, when he asked the question, "Who are these people that are clothed in white?" And he's, and then John responds to him. He says, "Sir, you know who they are," or "You are the one who knows," excuse me. Then he says, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation, okay? They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white." Now, this is amazing. This is an amazing part, because in the church that we, in the church today, there is what you call people that believe in the pre-tribulation or post-tribulation. There's different views of thoughts, and I'm not sure if some of you may know that or not, but there are some that teach that we believers right now will not go through the tribulation. We will be raptured before the tribulation happens. And there are a group, there are people in the Christian church that are believers as well, that also believe that we will go through the tribulation. We will go through a tribulation period, though we may be raptured or not. We may be raptured during the tribulation. So, and I want to bring that up because of the of what we are reading here right now, because there are some times that, yes, we are going to be raptured, no matter when it happens, whether it's going to be before the tribulation, during the tribulation, or maybe even after the tribulation. But the bottom line is that, and this is very interesting, because sometimes in your Christian life, you're going to go through the different types of tribulation that you're going through in life anyway. But this type of tribulation that we're reading about, that we're talking about, what the Bible's talking about, it's going to be even more horrific. It's going to be more challenging. It's going to be more than even probably what we're discovering in our life right now, the pandemic of COVID and having this virus that is killing people. Listen, this tribulation, as you read in Revelations, there's a vision of all these things that will happen during the tribulation and what will happen during this time. There's a great battle. We have the Battle of Armageddon and so many other details that you can actually read for yourself in the book of Revelations. There's so much more to go into. But in this part here that I want to kind of hone in on is the fact that, yes, there are different types of teachings in the Christian church. I'm not going to say that they are wrong, and I'm not going to say they are right. They are just different views. And remember, in the Christian world, we all do have some different views. But as long as we know that Jesus Christ is the way to God, and that Jesus Christ is the way to salvation through Jesus Christ, then we're okay. Okay, we can agree and disagree on how we worship, whether we speak in tongues or whether we don't speak in tongues. We can agree and disagree on those things. But as long as we are one in the same when it comes to salvation, when it comes to Jesus Christ died on the cross for each and every one of us, and that is through him that we have to receive salvation and not through anyone else. Okay, so there's a lot of other things in the Christian church that I can definitely tell you that we disagree on, or maybe we may have debates over, but let's not debate on salvation. Amen. So that's all I want to kind of point out to you all right now. But here's the thing, though. We see, though, that in this passage, we see that there are going to be multitude of people. And at the end of the time, or whenever it's going to be, we're all going to stand in front of the throne, and we're all going to be worshiping the Lord, and we're all going to give him praise. We're not going to be talking about whether we were right or wrong on the tribulation. Amen. we're not going to be talking about that. That's not going to be even an issue at that time. So remember that. So we might be debating now, but remember, this time, according to what this is saying, that won't even be a discussion. It will be all about him. Our focus and attention will be all about him. and all onto him, and the glory and praise and honor will be focused just on him. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to understand? Because you know what? We live in a world today that has so much controversy and so many different viewpoints, whether you are right or left, whether you're Republican or Democrat, or whether you believe in this and believe in that. It's just so much. There's so much going on, and this whole, you know, we live in a toxic society as it is. I mean, let's just deal with just your family situation, right? You may have family situations that are going on in just in your home, just in your society, just around your neighborhood. But imagine everything else. All right, man. So this is why this devotion is such a point, a very important devotion to go through right now. And hopefully that you guys are getting some good stuff out of this devotion and can stay with me through these 7 days as we go through this. Just imagine if we can begin to set the example of breaking those barriers of just looking at a person because they're different. Let's get beyond that. So anyways, I don't want to get too far into the devotion, but we're going to take a break and we're going to be right back, and we're going to continue. We're going to get into the devotion and see what this is all about. All right. Stay right there, and we'll be back after these messages. Hey, so welcome back. So we're going to get right into the devotional part of this. And this is the devotional, John M. Perkins. And he is really talking about reconciliation. So this is really good. So let's start off what he's saying here. It says, a short time ago, we worshiped with Bridgeway Community Church in Columbia, Maryland. I got a foretaste of this Revelation 7 vision. It felt like a prelude to heaven. It was a picture of the oneness and diversity of the body of Christ, a physical representation of, as the King James Version puts it, all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And it was glorious. The melting of the cultures was beautiful. The blend of ethnicities was evident across the ranks of the leadership and the membership. And the music carried me away. I saw echoes of that great congregation that will stand around the throne shouting, "Holy, holy, holy, worthy is the Lamb." I was struck by their wonderful application of biblical truth. They had been intentional in making sure that their church looked like what the church is supposed to look like. From the lobby crew who wore purple t-shirts that asked people in different languages, got questions, to the warm welcome, "We're so glad you're here today." We saw and felt the heart of this community of believers. What is happening at Bridgeway Community Church and many other multicultural churches across the country is a reflection of God's grand vision for His church. This is a picture of true biblical reconciliation, the removal of tension between parties and the restoration of a loving relationship. These are glimpses of heaven in our midst. So, what do you guys think about this? Can you see this happening in the church today? This example that he gave over at the Bridgeway Community Church in Columbia, Maryland, is definitely an example of the multicultural church, but an example of what God ultimately is trying to do across the entire world. You know, the church that we know, the universal church, the Church of Jesus Christ is what I'm really saying, the Christian church. we're supposed to set the example. We're supposed to set the picture of not only, of course, with each other, but around the world and for the world. So the world in the community at large is supposed to be able to look at the church as the example and say that that community of people is an example of how the world is supposed to be one and united together. If the church itself is having an issue and having a problem with coming together and not being so separate, then how are we going to be the example? All throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you know, God is calling us believers to this higher standard of living, and also this higher standard of living to set the example to the rest of the world. He's aware that sin, and knows that sin separates, does damage in so many different ways. And this is why I say, and this is really one of the things that I want to mention, it kind of goes along with this, is that when we as Christians, when we see things that are either injustice in the world, immorality in the world, things that we know that God, that is not part of God's intention, I think the first step is not so much to rebuke so quickly and not to cast down individuals that are in their wrongdoing. But we need to start off with love and concern, but love in a genuine sense. Love in a sense to also reach out as far as reconciling ourselves to them, or establishing a authentic relationship with people. The reason why God doesn't like just rapture you out of here as soon as you get saved is because we're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be the seasoning in the earth. We're supposed to be the light that shines in a dark place. See, ever since the fall of man, we've had all kind of things that are considered evil. That's a given. And our job as the people of the world today, in the world today, the believers that's in the world, we're here to at least shine the light and be the example. You know, we have to be very tactful on how we approach people who are not of the faith, if people are maybe living a certain lifestyle that goes against what the word of God may say, or what we know in our heart that God's intention is. And I'm not just talking specifically on one type of behavior or type of lifestyle. I mean, sin spans across so many different offenses that it even seeps into the church. So we're not without fault. Even within the church itself, we do have things that we ourselves have to work on. So I'm saying this in a broad sense, because I think that we have to learn to start with ourselves. We have to learn to start with each other that is within the church and within the body of believers, to kind of get past these barriers, whether it be barriers of racism, whether it's barriers of discrimination or of different beliefs and religions, or different beliefs of doctrine I would have to even go as far as saying the different denominations. You know, I remember coming up as a Pentecostal. I was raised a Pentecostal in the Church of God in Christ, but for some reason we weren't really as close to the Baptists. And we, you know, my father at the time, though, he did have a church or building that had different sections of the church that had different churches on the same premises. You had a Baptist church, you know, a couple of Baptist church, and we were a Pentecostal church. So the beautiful thing about it, though, was that they had services within their congregation that they sometimes needed a bigger sanctuary. My father had the bigger portion of the sanctuary, of course, and he was open to let them and allow them to use the bigger sanctuary if they had special events, whether it be certain, you know, special events that they would have, and maybe funerals and whatnot. It was nice to see him, you know, allow them, and not just that, but just to be cordial and work with them. It didn't matter whether they were Baptists, according to us, you know, but across the landscape, and I am specifically talking about the Black church, you know, we have our own type of barriers, I think, that we put up sometimes, that we have to reach across and not you know, be so distant and categorize ourselves from one another, whether it be a Pentecostal Baptist church or what have you. I feel like there's really nothing wrong with denominations. I know that denominations started, you know, basically was man-made, and we kind of created that ourselves. But I also feel like if we share the same doctrine, we share the same salvation, we share the same pathway to Jesus Christ, the same way to heaven, and we all agree to that, I think that that's just one thing that we can agree upon and move toward full reconciliation in order to reach those that are across the aisle. In other words, let the Black church reach across to the white church, to the Hispanic church, to the Asian church. Let's get across the multiculturals, cultural things. Just don't have them come to our side, but we come to theirs too. And again, we're talking about people that believe in the same thing we believe in. We worship maybe in a different way. Maybe our music might be different. Maybe our services and our preaching might be a little different, but we are still one in Christ. We still should be moving toward salvation and ultimately setting the example for the entire world to see, so that the world, who also has their hangups and their situations and prejudices and things like that, can look at the church, can look at the community of the church and say, this is how we ought to be. If we're having this same problem, then how can we expect the world to act any different? You see, it's very important for us to be the example, not just talk about it, not just talk about what we ought to do. We need to practice it. We need to push forward and be the example. I know a lot of us, there are a lot of churches and a lot of ministries out there that are doing that. I'm a big fan or you know, fan of, let's do what's good right here at home. I don't have a problem with us going to other countries, but let's do good here. Let's do good in our own backyard. Let's do good in our own community. Let's do the outreach that we need to do right here in your own city, in your own neighborhood, in your own community, in your own state. We love to go abroad and do things because it makes us feel good. It makes us, and some of us, yes, we do feel the Lord called us to do those things. But for those of us, we also have a lot more harvesting in our own field, around our own corner, around the corner from us. The neighbor or the community that you live in is a harvest field of people, of individuals and husbands and wives and families and people that don't know Christ. that don't know, that they may never go to a church. They may never set foot in a church because of their own feelings about church or church people. We have to be better at being the example and showing them that though they might have had a bad experience, we're going to continue to be loving and kind no matter what. Let you be the first person that they can touch and they can see you up close to see that, okay, you are a good person, a good man or a good woman, and I want to know more about Jesus because of you. So that's just a start. I know there's so many things in our world today, and I always in some of my episodes, I appeal to you to pray for the situations and the events and this and all the things that we see going on in our world today. And there's a lot. I mean, we turn on the news and there's so many things that are being reported. Our local news, there's so much crime that is happening. There's so much shooting. There's so much drug addictions. There's so much killing. There's so much wrongdoing in our neighborhoods, in our communities, that there's a lot that the Christian church has to do. We have to get past our own way so that we can do the greater work that's in front of us. Listen, saints, we don't have a lot of time. We are truly living in the last days. I know that it's been said. I'm, 51 years old now, and I've been hearing my grandmother, when she was alive, talk about we're in the last days. We've read in the New Testament, Paul talks about we're in the last days, and we truly are in the last days. There are signs and things that have been going on in our nation and in the world stage. We've been seeing the pandemic is actually almost, in my opinion, considered a plague. You know, there's hunger in other nations, in other countries. There's famine. There's poverty. There's homelessness in our streets, in our communities, in our cities. We are definitely living in the last days, and violence has increased, and crime has gone to a level that no one cares about life, and no one has that sanctity of life. They would rather kill and take life rather than solve it. Their disagreements by any other means but by killing. So we have to really start thinking like this. We really have to take to heart about reconciliation and bringing each other together and devoting more to coming together as a community. Well, I know this was a pretty sobering message, I guess, for me. But I wanted to share this with you. I wanted to continue to talk with you. And this was a good devotion to continue on with, about reconciliation, about coming together. Let's really pray about that. Let's pray as a community, as a church community. Why don't you this week or this worship Sunday reach out to your fellow believer, your brother, your sister, and talk about how we can reach across the aisle with one another. Even if it means starting with ourselves, even if it means if there's a disagreement or something that is going on among yourselves as a body or as a membership, fix that. Fix that so that we can move on to greater things and work together. All right. I hope you have a wonderful week. Hope you have a wonderful weekend going forward. I'll be talking to you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.